Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 88. I did see the email today, and it is 88. And it's presented, thank you, and it's presented by Parse Rum. I love Parse. You love Parse. We all love Parse. Anything nice you guys want to say about Parse today?
If you would have brought some Parse to these negotiations, we might have a new CBA.
That's a good point. If I would have just slid some Parse across the table, I think we'd be in business.
Are you there, like, in person?
I'm in Dallas. We're all in Dallas.
All the like team reps are?
I don't know if all team reps are here. I would assume we have more than 30. Like we have, there's probably 50-ish players.
There's like at least one per team.
Yes. Yes. At least one per team plus extras.
Are any owners or like, Manfred there? Manfred's there too?
Everybody's here.
You know, who's not there is Steve Cohen because he's just... Him and the Rangers GM are just signing everybody.
Slanging. Just going on spending sprees.
Yeah. She said, hey, here's the checkbook. Do what you got to do.
The amount of signings in the last 48 hours, 72 hours is crazy.
I bet you it's even more the next 2 days.
It's
incredible.
Do you think that this is kind of like a total product of where we are? Because it's a good narrative for owners to be spending right now, especially if things happen over the next couple of days. Like, it's a good narrative. Yeah. Plus, you have like you have no spending last year. Then you have probably 3 years of really low spending. You had a lot of teams who mailed it in who are now starting to spend again. And you have this deadline, this artificial deadline that's kind of out there for teams to spend. So do you think it's a perfect storm of spending, or do you think if we had a deadline every year that it would be like this?
I think it'd be like this every year if there's a deadline. I mean, you saw it last year. There were guys like numerous like guys that could play every day in MLB going into spring training without a job. And it was insane to see. And then this year, it's kind of like everyone rushing to get a deal done before this all unfolds the next couple days.
You should throw that until when you guys are coming to agreement and be like, oh yeah, by the way, we want a deadline every year for free agency.
I've thought about it, and I haven't had deep conversations about it, but I've just thought about it. And when you kind of think about it, it's like, what's the penalty on the back end? Like if you don't sign some, like what happens? Right. How do they do it in the NBA?
I don't think there's a deadline. I think it just opens up at a certain date and then everybody just plays with Monopoly money because everybody signs for $500 million.
I think it closes.
But I feel like you can't put a deadline because then like what if you're a free agent and then a team's like, we want you. It's like, nope, sorry, you're screwed. Like I feel like if anything, this is against the players to have a deadline.
I don't know how the deadline works because in the NBA, there's only like a week for the signing. I'm pretty sure.
I could see like a dead period. For this couple of like for this month, you like the month of February, you can't sign anyone or something like that. But it's like, I feel like you can't just all of a sudden shut it down and be like, oh, if you're not with a team, like musical chairs, you lose.
Yeah,
it is. It's crazy the amount of spending that's gone on. But you have the Rangers doing some things, doing some exciting
over 500 mil and three guys.
Seager and Simeon was Seager got a lot of money
paid,
like what, 315 or 325?
325. And then Simeon, good for him. Bet on yourself. He's here. He's hanging out. He goes on that one year deal, bets on himself, rakes, sets some records for second baseman and homers. Zach's going to break next year. And then goes out and gets himself paid. What a guy.
Who else did they sign?
John Gray from the Rockies.
That's
like
right.
5 for 56 or something, or 4 for 56. Yeah. 5 for 56.
Didn't he have like crazy good numbers, like outside of Coors?
He's good road numbers.
I think so. Yeah.
He's,
is I, that why
we faced him this year? He was We faced him that course. He was pretty nasty.
Is Trevor Story not signed because of Coors Field?
It's a good question.
Like he maybe wants more money, and then they're all using that against him.
Well, I could see he's probably asking for Seager money, and teams are like, I'm not saying like he's asking for 10 for 325, but maybe he's asking for like 250, and teams are like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They're probably using cores against him, and then you also have like that, like the longevity, the shortstop position thing. That could be a toughie. I know he had some throwing troubles late in the year, but he's so solid.
Yeah.
Whoever gets him, especially if somebody gets him for less than they should, is going to have going to be a steal.
Somebody said that they think that he's the best athlete like in the big leagues, like top five.
Dude, he swipes 20, sneaky swipes 20 bags.
Says here. He can like 360 dunk, like windmill. Like that's.
He's a very good baseball body.
Oh, yeah.
Good looking guy in a uniform.
Yep, I agree.
And you have him. So Story, Baez, and Correa are still out there.
I saw Javi to the Tigers was a little bit of chatter.
Go Tigers. You know?
Which that'd be so weird. That'd just be so weird.
And that's what I'm not knocking the city of Detroit or Javi, but I feel like Detroit's like a grinder city. And I feel like Javi's too flashy to come. Like, I feel like he's a New York or an LA guy or like a Chicago. Like, he's a big city type player. Like, that's just what he is, his style of play.
Or Miami.
Like, it would be weird to me to see him on the Tigers.
Imagine Javi and the Cardinals.
Yeah.
With him and Arenado on the left side.
That's just gross. You couldn't picture.
But nothing would get through on the left side.
That's true. Zach, what have the Go Tigers done besides the starting pitcher?
Not anything.
Not anything. They're hanging out. They're waiting for the deals. Waiting for the market.
They got their shortstop of the future. What else do you need?
Yeah, waiting for the market to come to them. You got the Marlins went out there and got Garcia. He got a little 4 for 50 something.
And they just got
extended Alcantara.
Too.
I saw that they just traded extended Alcantara, which is a banana steal, by the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bananas.
But it's one of those like, and I get like, Ian, you know more about like what number you should try to get to like help your position. But like, imagine being him and offered that number. It's like, thanks. Like, I'm set for life. Like, you good just point. Gave me this much money. I'm set for life. And people are like, oh, why didn't you try and get this? It's like, I mean, what if I blow out next year and don't ever throw another baseball? Like,
you look at his numbers. Both sides. He's been sneaky really good.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying he took a team-friendly deal, if anything.
Yeah, he throws a billion. The Twins extended Buxton. Kind of a cool extension there.
What didn't he – he turned something down this year, though, didn't he?
I don't know.
Tom knows.
What I didn't get about Buxton's deal was he had a no-trade clause. Like, I don't know why –
no trade clause is a great thing. Then you can buy a house, you can set up, you know that you're not going to be moved. Like,
but no trade clauses get waived all the time. Like, it comes down to it in like 3 years, the Yankees want them, and it's like, all right, I'll waive it.
But Adam Jones had the 10-5 rights and didn't waive it in Baltimore years ago, which was a sick move.
Now he's winning Japanese World Championships. Correct. I don't know if he won, actually. I just know he was playing in their World Series.
He had a walk-off. Or pitch yeah, but hit, I don't, go ahead.
Home I don't know if his team won the whole thing or not.
Buxton did decline. This was reported by Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic on July 25th that Buxton was unable to agree to extension at that point. So he did decline.
But nobody knows what it was.
They reported at the time that it was around $70 million. Buxton wanted $80. They sort of met in the middle, but they couldn't agree on a deal at that point.
Yes.
I wonder what the years were.
That sounds very right.
He had a cool little incentive package in there where, like, if he – because Buxton has so much upside. Like, if he plays a full season, and especially if he is as good as he was this year, like, he could go out there and be a top 10 MVP dude every year. And he's got some upside in that contract if he does go out and get some MVP votes. He's got, like, $8 million if he wins the MVP.
Yeah, I did have two questions for you. Well, it's basically the same question. What happens with arbitration and the Rule 5 draft? with the new CBA and all that? Is all that just like delayed?
It depends. So it depends what the league decides to do. If they don't have to, I think this is a point that people need to know, is they don't have to lock us out.
Yeah, they could just continue with no CBA, right?
They continue with the, I think the current CBA would be an extension. It would just roll over and you would keep working on a deal. And so, you know, they can lock it out at any time, but they don't necessarily have to. So if there is a lockout, it will be an action by the league and the owners to say, like, we're putting a stop to this. So, you know, that doesn't have to happen. But if there is a lockout, then everything will be just frozen. And so like all those,
like, nothing. Baseball's just
frozen. Yeah. What's the incentive to that though? Like, why would they do that opposed to just saying, hey, let's just roll it over in the meantime?
Can you hear that?
Yes.
It's a FaceTime from Walker Buehler. Shout out. Cool guy.
Want to come on the pod?
I'm a cool guy. So if they, what's the incentive to locking us out? It's, I don't know exactly like what the incentive would be right now. I don't see like the upside of it. I think that it's more of like a
power move.
Power move.
Or say like we can do it.
Like you feel like, especially like at this time, we would kind of want to negotiate through this and try like work really like if we can't come to an agreement that we would like just power through this and get to a point where we could find some common ground. You know, we'll see what happens. It's
and can they lock out whenever they like, could they just continue on until like spring comes up, just so like, I mean, like there's no point in locking us out in December and shutting down baseball operations in December. Like what's that? You're just like,
it's like until you come to an agreement. I don't know what was the basketball one was into the season, right? That was the last one.
Yeah, that was like the end of the year.
Yeah. So it's kind of just until an agreement's made, and that's kind of the crazy part. But I think that players know kind of what we want and where we want to get to. So that's part of it too. Is just trying to figure out, you know, how we can get to that point. But it's everything's frozen, and then you, once an agreement's made, then the dates get decided mutually. And so, you know, arbitration, some of that stuff could kind of happen pretty rapidly after an agreement is done. But
then they move the non-tender date up, right?
Move the non-tender date up, so guys will know if they have a contract or not before.
Okay. That's kind of what I meant by arbitration. It's like obviously you can figure out the number later once the deal is signed, but yeah, the tender and non-tender, I feel like you kind of like you're going into a frozen, like, am I going to get a deal at the end of this? Or right.
Yeah, so the tender date is tomorrow at like 4 o'clock, and then the exchange date on actually arbitration numbers isn't until January 15th. Okay. So that's when you exchange numbers, figure out, and if you can't come to an agreement, then you go to arbitration February.
That's when you go in and say, I want $100 million for one season.
That's exactly it.
And I want $25 million to Zach and Dakota each. Tom, you get 10. Ian gets the rest. 40. Fair? Sick. Everybody set?
Everybody's happy. Good. Everybody's happy. can we talk about Scherzer's deal?
Wait, 43 a year?
Oh my God.
3 years at 43 a year. At 37. Is that good?
Kind of just insane. Like
that is so much money.
But I mean, him paired with DeGrom, like I get it, but that's,
it's gonna be great for them. I love that they're going all in. Escobar, Marte, Canna.
Like in the matter of seconds.
Is he just playing with fun coupons? Like he's just, here you go. Who wants, like that's,
They got money coming off the books, right? DeGrom's out in two.
Yeah, but he's like one of the most team friendly deals too.
Yeah, I was like, do you want him off the books?
DeGrom's coming off the books. And then Alonso's.
Lindor's on the books.
Lindor's on the books.
Let's look at those two deals.
McCann's there. He signed a nice little deal, but that's like,
I think that was 4 years.
4 years.
50 or 60.
I saw a post that said Max Scherzer this next year will make more than two or three teams full salary, like their full team
where their payroll is right now. Them.
Like the right. Pirates and one other team, I think he like is making more next year than they are.
Kind of crazy that their payrolls are under 40 million.
It is. That is insane too. Like that's kind of absurdly low.
I think we should be thinking about that. Like that's.
Yeah, true.
Come on.
True. That's sad. Goes both ways there on how strange.
Robbie Ray's with the Mariners. Gosman's with the Blue Jays. They got pretty similar deals after great years. I saw a
tweet that said he took less the Blue Jays than what the Mets offered. That could be, I mean, that's just a report. You never know. But I did see something that said like the Mets offered him more. Hmm. And he said, I want to go to Toronto.
He took 5 for $110 from Toronto. So that means the Mets, I saw the same report. Supposedly the Mets offered him at least $120 and he turned it down.
Yeah.
So. Was that after Scherzer?
It was before they signed Scherzer, I believe. Yeah.
Correct.
And then they said, all right, you know what? Fuck it. Scherzer, we're making sure you come here. Take all the money.
They said, we're going there. Like, going all the way.
We're not losing another guy. That's basically what they said.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to have to think. Is Javi coming off the
tomorrow is going to be banana lands.
I saw some KB rumors with Philly.
Yep.
I saw that, and Mariners. I saw we're in there too.
This is some exciting stuff.
Baseball, I think playing in Seattle would be sick.
Sick.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes, sir.
There's a report that came out on ESPN. Mm-hmm. All these reports on ESPN are funny because they report stuff that's going on in the CBA, and it's when you actually like or see what's being proposed, it's interesting to see what's being reported, and
you're like, that's not true,
or like where it's coming from, because you know, like there's two sides that are. They're offering.
Are the reporters proposals. There too or no?
Oh, they're. I haven't seen many of them, but I've heard that they're flying around. That they're around. But there was a proposed playoff structure that was reported by ESPN, a 14 team playoff structure, where you would play best of three wild card, and then the top two teams would get a bye.
And they get to pick. Somebody gets to pick their opponent.
Yeah, that's crazy. But just the 14 team playoff.
You get to pick your team.
Yeah, you get to pick. You would get to pick who you play, which is wouldn't
tell you what though. That's some bulletin board material. Oh, they wanted us.
That's what they said in the ESPN article.
Didn't that happen this year?
No,
I thought the Yankees and Red Sox they decided or.
There was a scenario in which if they all tied that they would have been.
Okay.
Choose. So if you have 30 teams and 14 of them make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. It's the NBA.
Who cares about the first round of the NBA playoffs?
I mean, I will agree there is a point to where there's just too many teams and it's like, all right, like I mean, the NFL this year is up to 14. And it makes teams that shouldn't still be alive. Like later in the year, I guess you're still fighting for it, but at the same time, like there needs to be like I don't know how to say it.
You can't have a sub 500 team make
no playoffs, like right? That yeah, like but that's like in the NFL, like there could be a team that's there's 17 games, you're like 8-9 make the playoffs and it's
yeah
like,
you know who that is, that's the Jets.
Yikes. Like the Lions, technically, I think they are 0-10-1, are not technically eliminated yet from the playoffs.
Yep.
Which is just ridiculous. Like
what did we have in 2020? 12 team?
Yeah, it was 12. They added one to each side. You're talking about baseball or football?
Baseball.
12? 'Cause of three. No.
I like the best of three wildcard game. I think best of three wildcard is better than play one.
I like that better too. Because one game, like I get the one game, but
in baseball,
like, you work. Could have. I don't want to like name teams here. You could have a really bad team that, realistically, say the last game of the season, they could be 60-101, and they could face a team that's 101-60, and the starter on the 60-101 team could go out there and throw a no hitter. That's just baseball.
That's what I was going to say before. Baseball is the one sport where it could be like, hey, that under 500 team could actually sweep whoever.
Yeah, because it's, you never know. Like the hot team, like any team can beat any team at literally, like whoever had the worst record last year, like I don't know if it was like the Orioles, probably at some point beat the Yankees. 100% beat the Yankees at some point. Not that they were the best team, but for reference.
Just to correct ourselves, there were 16 teams in the 2020 playoffs, 8 from each league.
In baseball?
Yeah.
It's literally more than half.
Eats.
Are you sure?
That sounds really familiar because I'm
reading an article from MLB.com. I mean,
Ian, you were part of it.
I know. It didn't feel like that.
Yeah. It's like, didn't you play in it?
Didn't feel like 16.
Sad.
I'm trying to remember. It's such a blur. 16. Holy shit. And we got beat. We won our division and got beat by the Marlins. Got swept.
Yeah, you guys were the 3 seed that year. You played the 6 seed Marlins.
And we got bounced.
Yeah, bounced.
I don't understand. I'm switching gears. How are college coaches switching schools when they still have games left on their schedule? I'm not a fan.
Let's talk football.
Real quick. Did you see Lincoln Riley's deal to USC?
Yes,
it was something like they agreed to buy out both his houses for over $500,000 of asking price. They bought him a $6 million house in LA. They're paying him $110 million. Like,
but hey,
I agree with you.
There's no money in college sports though, man. They can't pay the guys. Okay.
And they're bringing $110 million.
Yes.
They're over how long? 30 years?
10 years, I think.
Doesn't Saban make like $6 million a year?
No, Mel Tucker just got a 10-year, $95 million extension, 9.5 a year, and that was like top five highest.
It's just tough because all of these huge schools have openings at the same time, so it's like.
I mean, it's like the biggest, like LSU, USC, Notre Dame is now open because Brian Kelly from Notre Dame went to LSU. Yeah,
right.
Oklahoma. What's he going to make?
At LSU, probably a lot.
I saw something 15 a year.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, think of the donors and boosters. Like think of the grads that came from there that just probably have billionaires that went there.
Just so excited to pay Brian Kelly's paycheck.
I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, you'd pay the Michigan State coach's paycheck. You love it.
He was doing at Mel Tucker's house.
That's exactly what he was doing. He was fluffing his pockets. He was
greasing the wheels. I was getting him here.
Yep. Here's $5.
And I was at the game this past Saturday, 2-0 with me in the stadium this year.
Needed you and one more.
I'll tell you what though, before we get to Cincy, because I know Ian wants to talk about Cincy, the fact that what hurts me and it hurts my soul is that if Michigan State would have beat Purdue, they'd be going to the Big Ten championship instead of Michigan. Because they beat Michigan, but they lost to Purdue. So they are instead going to probably be going to a New Year's Six Bowl. And I had to sit here and look at tweets of Michigan people. It was insanity, some of the tweets I saw. There was guys that used to play at Michigan tweeting like, oh, and have fun at the Idaho Potato Bowl at MSU football. Like, what the fuck are you tweeting at MSU football for? We didn't do it. Like, we beat you.
I get it because they haven't won in 10 years or whatever, but like it really solidified Ohio State as big brother because they stormed the field. It was two top five teams playing each other. It was crazy.
That's embarrassing. They were number 5 in the country. You don't storm the field as number 5 in the country. It's embarrassing. Couldn't be the Spartans. Couldn't be my Spartans storming the field. I'll probably get tagged in a tweet of storming the field at some point, but I don't care. But Cincy, I'm worried about him this Saturday against Houston.
You know what? Cincy, they got something to prove this weekend. You know, they've been playing good football. They've been getting by. They looked really good for the first 3 quarters last week. They looked really good for 4 quarters the week before. But now they have a number 19 Houston team rolling in there to their home turf, trying to give them the business. And you know what? Cincy's just, they're going to do what they do. They're going to play a good football game. Defense is going to be flying around. They're going to run some deep routes. And you know what? They're going to come out of there with a W, and they're going to head their asses to the college football playoff.
Zach, how many minutes of Cincinnati football do you think Ian's watched this year?
Three minutes.
I watch all the games.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I sit down on Saturdays. I'm laughing, but I sit down on Saturdays and watch these games because I care.
Ian, this is a huge test. And if you get this, I'm going to feel bad if you get this wrong because it's going to be embarrassing for you. What is their quarterback's name?
Oh, no.
Desmond Ridder.
Oh, nice. All right.
Wow, that was quick, too.
Yes, it's good. I was going to say, I was like, you got to know this like that, or I'm going to think you looked
it up. That just means Tom's a very quick texter. He got it in really quick.
Thanks, Tom. They looked really good the last couple weeks. I don't know. It is going to be a test. And there's no, if they win against number 19 Houston, there's no way the committee can keep them out. No way.
They just have to, I feel like no matter what, they're just going to get compared to Notre Dame in the recent years.
They beat Notre Dame.
Ian.
Sorry. Hey. Because Notre Dame's ranked fifth or whatever.
No. I know. I'm just saying by kind of not really being deserving and being in the playoff and then losing by 74 points.
So in Notre Dame could potentially like play in the, you know, whatever it is, the Peach Bowl, or like if crazy stuff happens, they could get into a top four, maybe into the college football playoff. Brian Kelly can't leave before the college football playoff.
Yeah. Well, like what do you, they're going to, if you know you're going to a different coach or a different school, why don't you just call the craziest plays of all time and just have a backyard football game? I don't care. Fucking, I'm leaving.
If Michigan loses in the Big Ten championship, and Alabama loses to Georgia because they're playing each other, right?
Yes.
And they're both two loss teams, and Notre Dame's a one loss team. Yeah.
It'd be an absolute bloodbath for who gets in, and then Oklahoma State goes and loses to Baylor. Then it's literally just they honestly might put Ohio State back in at that point. If Oklahoma State loses, Michigan loses. Baylor beats Oklahoma. Like, I don't know. It could be mayhem.
Do we think the Seahawks would win in the college football playoff?
No, I don't. No. I don't think anybody can beat Georgia. I really don't. I'll be very surprised.
Bearcats only lost to him by a field goal last year. Just remember.
I'm switching gears again, but I'm staying with the same sport. The Washington football team had a stat on third and ones this year. What do you think the percentage is that they've ran the ball?
18.
Nope.
I was just looking at the TV too.
54.
I would have looked so
smart. Nope.
One.
One. Zero.
99.
Nope. 18. Nope. Just say a number.
Which side of the scale is it?
100.
Oh, that's pretty close with 99.
100% of the time. And they just did it again here twice. Once on third and one, once on fourth and one. How, like, I don't know.
Load the box.
I would say that in, if you were going to do like the baseball stats, you'd be sitting on it. If you're the defense, this point in the season, you got to know what's coming. I want to switch gears on your switch gears.
Wow.
Dakota has something for us.
I do. So one of my buddies, it's actually one of my buddies I played at Michigan State with, Dan Durkin, his brother, Tony Durkin.
Does Dan also hate Michigan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you go to Michigan State, you don't like Michigan. That's just how it works. He's a part of this foundation called Wish Fest. It's spelled W-E-I-S-H Fest.
Is that a last name?
It is a last name. They have an event this Friday in the Chicago area. It is actually at 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park, Illinois. They have like this like big concert, basically. It's like a big party. And they have Russell Dickerson and Randy Houser and OAR, who sings Wonderwall, I believe. No.
Oh, come on, dude. What?
They sing Love and Memories. I know that song by them. So I redeemed myself there because I knew an obscure song by them. Let's go. So they have like a bunch of music going on. It's basically just a big party. And all the proceeds of it go to families with kids and young adults battling cancer. So it's kind of a cool event. Go hang out, drink a little bit, spend some money, watch some good music, listen to some good music, and help a good cause at the same time. For tickets and info, you go to wishfest.com.
Wishfest.
W-E-I-S-H-Fest.com. And we're going to post this on – it'll be on our stories today when you're listening, our Instagram stories.
And so it'll be on the Twitter. It'll be on the Twitter too.
Yes.
And it'll post have a link on the Twitter so that you can go to our Twitter and see this, because it's hard to remember how to spell wish.
Yes. And I'll tag them on the Instagram and Twitter because they have like accounts there too. Wishfest does. So
hashtag Wishfest on
it. And you can go to their page and it'll have all the info and tickets and all that.
I have an idea.
You should put it on the TikTok along with the Twitter.
I don't have one of those TikTok things that the kids are talking about these days. You know what I think we should do though, is I think we should do a little, hashtag Wishfest. Let's see how many hashtag Wishfest so we can get out there. Make sure you spell it right, because it's with an E. Yep. Hashtag Wishfest, hashtag Parse Rum.
See you tomorrow. Yes, it is this Friday, December 3rd. I don't know if I said that part or not.
December 3rd, Friday. I'm getting my wisdom teeth out.
For a good cause. Ooh, goodness.
It's a little personal thing that's happening in my life, in case you want to know. Me, Friday, wisdom teeth coming out. Look like a chipmunk, a little scared, a little nervous. Getting them taken out. I actually only have 3 wisdom teeth. Let me tell you why. Because one spring training, I had a wisdom tooth that was growing out, like, and cutting a hole in my cheek. So I had to go to a dentist in Arizona and have him just like crowbar it out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
Crazy. They just put me, laughing at me too. So they were like in there, like, and I was just laughing at me. I just popped it right out.
Oh.
So I only have 3 to get out on Friday, but it's going to be a toughie. It's going to be a real toughie. I'm coming back from Dallas Thursday night, Friday morning, first thing. I'm in the chair, going under, getting the wisdom teeth out. Going to be loopy for the weekend.
I say we do an episode on Saturday.
My experience wasn't that bad. Zach, have you had yours out?
Thank you.
No, mine are still on.
No, mine was like they gave me like Vicodin for it. I think I took like 2, and then I was like, I don't really need these anymore.
You're a big, tough guy.
I mean, Zach, it didn't really hurt. Like, if you don't get dry sockets, it's fine.
Zach, have you ever thought about getting yours out? Aren't you terrified that they're going to start hurting in like April, and then you're going to have to go 6 months with them in? Because I'm terrified of that.
I don't know, dude. I just think the dentist is the scariest place on the face of the earth.
Does the dentist tell you that you grind your teeth when you go in?
No.
You want to know what's wrong with me? Well, one, they did tell me I grinded my teeth. I used to have to sleep with a mouth guard.
You grew out of
it? I no longer sleep with a mouth guard.
What the fuck? You didn't tell me this? We've been roommates for 6 years. You didn't tell me this?
Because one day in spring training in the hotel, I'm not going to say which hotel, I get back to the room at night. I open up my little case, put my mouth guard in, and there's like 10 fruit flies or like little like gnats on my mouth guard. Ooh. And I go, never again will this go in my mouth, and I throw it directly in the trash.
Why didn't you just get a new one?
I haven't been in the dentist in 6 years. That's why. Yeah, it's not good. That's not
a good legitimately thing, 6 years.
It was in college at some point. The last time I was at college,
I think this is
Dennis, like 2014, 2015.
I think this is a pretty common thing among baseball players because the offseason is so short and you have to like get all of your, like the idea of taking a day and like planning the dentist and going to the dentist in the time that we have off is so unappealing.
Is it covered in our medical?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Maybe I'll make a time.
You have pretty good dental. But
I'm going to have a lot of cavities. I don't know. It could get ugly in there. There might be a root canal. Who knows?
It had been like 2 years for me, and I went in, and I really went to the dentist so that I could get a referral to go to the
orthodontist.
Yes, but it's not actually the orthodontist because it was an oral surgeon. I was going to say orthodontist, but I guess it wasn't. It was an oral surgeon to get the wisdom teeth out, because I always like spring training or whatever have a little bit of pain, and then I'm like, this is going to be terrible. I'm going to be dealing with this the whole year. And then
speaking of the orthodontist, growing up, I had everything you could imagine except a headset.
Like the girl from Finding Nemo?
Yes, dude.
I wish you had a headset. Oh my gosh, I wish you had a headset.
Bro, I literally looked like SpongeBob in high school.
I mean,
I never had braces. Can we get a few pictures? Braces? No, I never had braces. Can we get a few pictures of that?
No.
Come on. Nope. Hashtag Wishfest, hashtag Parse Rum, hashtag Zach with a headset. With
braces and retainer and the little rubber bands that pull.
I had those. I had those. I had bars. I had a thing called a palate expander in the top of my mouth. Dude,
what did your teeth look like before this?
I told you, SpongeBob, bro. I literally was like this.
That's what is that,
a walrus? Hey, I know Brady's in the room with you, Brady. I want you to find some of those pictures.
Nope.
Tell Tracy to send them to us. She will. No. I know she will.
She will. She will. Please.
She has my number, so she'll
send them for the pod.
He said no.
Not in a weird way that she has my number, by the way. She has it in case Zach, I don't know, in case Zach something happens. In case
Zach needs to get his wisdom teeth taken out.
In case she can't get a hold of Zach, she calls me because, you know, we're just that close, and that's special, man.
I have a theory about the dentist that they tell every single person that goes in there that they need, that they grind their teeth and they need a mouth guard, and they're getting a cut of the mouth guards.
Hey, have you ever heard of a car mechanic? What do you think those guys do for a living?
It's the same thing. Like, what do you do? Go get a second opinion? Like,
your carburetor needs to get fixed. Oh, what the fuck's a carburetor? You got it, buddy. That's $1,500.
Whatever it costs.
Yep. Whatever it is, man. I'm like Steve Cohen when it comes to that. I don't care what it is. Just take it. I don't care. Here.
Oh, you're rich?
Yeah, I wish.
Oh, you rich.
I wish.
You can tell us.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Ian, you're the rich one here, brother. We've seen your arbitration case.
Yeah, it was like, we actually know what you make, and you're making more than that this next year. Yep. So I'm expecting.
Do we have a number yet?
I'm expecting a raise. I don't think he'll be talking about numbers on that.
We'll see what the number is. We're not going to talk about it on air.
Why not?
Because we got to fight about it. We got to fight about the number.
You're not fighting anymore. Way? They're done fighting you. You won.
Got to fight again.
You had over an 800 OPS. You hit 30 homers. You're good.
I didn't have an 800 OPS. I wish I had an 800 OPS. I'd 25 fucking homers. Pumped.
What'd you have?
Like 760.
Okay, you had over league average OPS.
I did have over league average, which was nice.
So guess what? That means you're rich.
800 OPS. That's the goal every year. 800 plus.
Ian, didn't you want to talk about Wade Davis?
I did want to talk about Wade Davis. You know why I wouldn't talk about
Tom,
Wade Davis?
Tom just sighed a huge sigh of relief right there.
I wanted to talk about Wade Davis.
We were rambling.
Ian texted me individually, which he doesn't do that often. Wednesday.
That's weird. He texted you. That's awesome.
Just to tell me that he wanted to talk about Wade Davis. So this has been like, we got to get it in here.
Before we talk about Wade Davis, can we just all remember that I texted you guys on Thanksgiving early?
You did. And it was a very nice text, too. I appreciate it.
I don't want to talk about how nice of a text it was, because it was very nice, and it was sincere. But I just want to get that out there that I did send a text on Thanksgiving.
Well, all is a loose term. I didn't get it.
I actually thought about that, too.
Damn it.
So the people.
I did appreciate it. Yes.
The people out there, that means we're right, Dakota. He didn't text all of us on Thanksgiving.
That's true.
Sorry, Tom.
It's kind
of
messed
Tom
up.
Does Tom literally does all of the work here and didn't have the decency to text. Neither did I. That's and I'm assuming point. Neither did Dakota.
I was gonna say neither did any of us.
Fuck.
But I did think about it.
But Tom, hey,
it's because the posters aren't up yet.
But this is a two-way street. Did Tom text us?
Nope.
Sure didn't.
Thank you for giving me all the sleepless nights to put out on the compound.
Tom, is Jake in the office?
No, and it's like 11 o'clock at night. He's
Thank God Jake's not in the office. Ian, I have to
this
text
is
him
just
back.
Like the let's get back to Arizona Fall League thing. Let's get back to Wade Davis.
Let's get go. Back to Wade Davis. Let's get back to Wade Davis. So Wade Davis retired. Yep. Wade is an exceptional human, and I want to just take a minute to appreciate Wade's career. I believe he played for 13 years. Absolute stud with Kansas City. What he did with us in 17 was bananas and completely underappreciated. If you look back at that year he had with us in 17, it was magical. And then I think he had one really good year with the Rockies, if I remember correctly.
Wade Davis is born in West Vancouver, Canada.
Hey.
Hey.
Wade set the market for relievers. I think he had like a when he went to Colorado, I think that contract was kind of – but he's an absolute stud, great person, one of, if not the best, like, individual, just, like, laser-focused, I'm going to beat you with not only my stuff, but, like, how I pitch type of dude. Because he wasn't, like, a two-pitch closer. Like, he wasn't, like, a – he wasn't throwing 100. He He wasn't like he had a pitch mix. He spotted up. He knew what he was trying to do. Really cool to talk to him about baseball. I loved him as a teammate. And I want to say very good things about Wade Davis.
A lot of people that I talk to that play with him, like everyone I've talked to that's played with him, said they loved him. Like I know Maples loved him.
Great.
I never met him, but I heard he's awesome.
I'm not a fan of him because he threw a nasty cutter and I don't like cutters. They should be illegal.
He did throw a nasty cutter. And there was some times where you thought Wade, like, especially when he came off the mound, like might kill somebody. Like he was like, just like, not because he was crazy, but because he was the quiet crazy. You were like, he's not saying enough. He might be ready to murder someone.
I think those guys are scarier than the loud ones.
He tried to get me out. So the year after, this is a cool Wade Davis story. The year after, which was in
18,
but this was in 19. So this was 2 years after I faced Wade in spring training. And I was making all these swing changes, which ended up being horrible, but I was making all these swing changes. So the Cubbies would think
they weren't horrible because you met Dakota and me.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Good things happen from it. Wouldn't have the compound without him. I faced Wade in spring training and he threw me a high heater because he thought he was going to get me out. And I rolled it over to second base, but I felt really good about like actually hitting it. And he texted me after the game and was like, man, swing looks good. Like, I thought I'd be able to get you on that pitch. Like, nice. And that was one of the most meaningful texts I've ever gotten from an opposing player. Even though my swing changes ended up being horrible and a bad idea, that was cool.
What if I got a theory? What if he texted you that knowing it wasn't good?
Just to fuck me.
We might see this guy later.
Good point.
Keep it up, man.
He was setting me up. He was setting me up.
I've heard that before from people saying, like, they'll tell pitchers, like, hey, man, your curveball is fucking gross. Or he'll say to the catcher, like, what the fuck was that? That was the best pitch I've ever seen. So then later in that bat, he throws it again and hits a homer. And he's laughing.
That's 100% the opposite. Like, if he faced me, he'd be like, that shit sucked. I'm taking that 450 next time I face you.
There was a few times this year.
Like, I threw you a backed up slider and you're like, well, it's effective because it was backed up. I'm like, well.
It is. It's true. Man, I said that.
It was a good, bad pitch.
Yeah.
That's real. Is there anything else we should touch on before we do the screen time brought to you by WishFest, #WishFest, #ParseRum. Yeah.
With an E.
The Jets are going to have back-to-back first-round picks this year because the Seahawks are doing great for them.
I don't know if you guys know this, but we're presented by ParseRum, the best rum in the world. It's actually been voted with the whatever the award is for, like, top rum in the world. That's the real thing. I don't know if you guys remember last year we did that Instagram thing where they're voting and all this stuff. Yes. But Parse rum, it's an incredible rum, and it plants trees to save the planet. Drink a bottle, save the planet. That's what Dakota always says.
So, I mean, no big deal, but you're saving the world.
4 hours, 7 minutes for me.
3 hours, 26 minutes.
5:24. Stinks.
What a loser.
Did you say 3 hours, 6 minutes?
3:26. I work today, so.
Damn, that's pretty
low. It's not my phone much. It's a grinder.
Pretty low. Like to say that half of mine was again on the messages. That's amazing.
Don't want to hear it.
33 minutes of mine was on Yahoo Mail.
I think we're going to have more to talk about next week, but because of all the things we had to talk about this week, didn't get Frank the Tank on. Frank the Tank will be on, though. Okay. Not like the way
that Arrieta double episode.
Not like the way that Arrieta was going to be on. More like the way that Frank's going to be on. There was too much to talk about this week.
And well, next week could get kind of nutty too. We'll see. We'll get
next
him
week
on.
Could be nutty, but we're gonna have him on. We're gonna talk to Frank about his unbelievable season and his wonderful time at home in Jersey.
#WishFest, #ParseRum.
#ParseRum, #WishFest. We'll put the stuff on our Twitter about WishFest with an E and our Instagram, WishFest with an E. And posters are coming soon. That's episode 88 of the Compound Podcast presented by ParseRum. See you next week.
Rob.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.